I wanted to make sure today that I got the pronunciation right of the main character in our gospel story. So I asked my husband, Bernie, how do you pronounce this name? He proceeded to sing the entire song along with hand motions. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. So we never forget some of those Bible characters. Today's story comes from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, and I'll be reading through the Message paraphrase version. Then Jesus entered and walked through Jericho. There was a man there, his name Zacchaeus, the head tax man, and he was quite rich. He wanted desperately to see Jesus, but the crowd was in his way. He was a short man and couldn't see over the crowd, so he ran on ahead and he climbed up in a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus when he came by. When Jesus got to the tree, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is my day to be a guest in your home." Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck, delighted to take Jesus home with him. Everyone who saw the incident was indignant and grumped. What business does he have getting cozy with this crook? Zacchaeus just stood there, a little stunned. He stammered apologetically, "Master, I will give half of my income to the poor, and if I'm caught cheating, I will pay four times the damages." Jesus said, "Today is a salvation day in this home. Here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost." The word of God. God. Praise be to God.
You know, there are some people I know who are so good at listening that it feels like a gift to have a conversation with them. Do you know anyone like that? You just connect. Some of it is about that other person. The way they give you their full attention. The way they ask good questions about taking a little bit deeper, whatever story is you're telling. The way they exhibit empathy, which is the willingness they have to wonder about things from your perspective. Even if they don't entirely agree with you, it is possible for that person to show empathy. I have to tell you that that trait of empathy was one of the traits that attracted me to my wife, Jane, early on when we met each other, started dating, and in fact still does. And she was in the first service at the park, and everyone's going, yeah, here he is trying to get some points. But I tell you, I think it's because it doesn't happen enough, that the person who really does listen well, and Jane is one of those people, it's a standout behavior. It is commendable. Today, we're talking about how that feature is empathy, and we want to learn about it as spiritual people. This behavior we're talking about today is not easily done. I want to say that up front. But it's something that I see grows out of the gospel story today. This scene that was on the front of your bulletin comes from a kind of a modern adaptation of the life of Jesus. And I really like this moment. This is the moment where Jesus, the healer, rabbi, comes through town and he encounters Zacchaeus. And although you can't see their faces, I think you can look at this image and appreciate Jesus is very engaged listening to this other person. So I want to peel back a little bit. I want today for all of us to walk away with some ideas of what empathetic behavior looks like. Empathy is not to be confused with sympathy. It often is. Sympathy is more having pity for another person, but still keeping your emotional distance from their experience. Empathy is working at feeling with another. Maybe it's the difference between reading in your newspaper of how someone in Afghanistan or Pakistan was bombed and you feel pity about the happening versus someone who is your next door neighbor who has lost someone and you're imagining life through their eyes, walking in their shoes. That is empathy. It is harder work than having mere sympathy. I find that empathy requires seeking to understand before being understood, to quote the great Stephen Covey. In general, empathy isn't about solving someone's problem. Guys, listen to that, because like we guys are notorious for thinking the way that we're going to help is to fix a problem. Empathy is not about solving a problem. It's more about feeling with another person, feeling a human connection, letting someone know, hey, I'm here for you. That's empathy. Now, I admit it is work to feel this way with another person in conversation, and we probably cannot pull it off in every conversation, in every relationship that we have. But I'm convinced that to have empathy is a way God would have us regard other people, even the seemingly unlovable people. That's our work. You notice in the Gospels, Jesus is always being a reflection of God's way in the world. Jesus' way seems to be God's way. And there are times when Jesus is so spot on present with another person he's encountering that it leads to their ability to change life direction. They make a decision in conversation with him or because of the way he related to them, and they go off living a new way. It happens across all the Gospels, and it certainly is happening in today's story. So just look at what happened one day when Zacchaeus the tax collector caught up with Jesus on the streets of Jericho. Maybe you've heard this story. Maybe you sang the song in elementary school. But I want you to stay curious with me about this story, because I think there are some powerful implications about the way we live that could affect how you and I are going to live this next week. If you've already heard a little bit of the story, you probably know that Zacchaeus was kind of hated by his neighbors. He was not on good terms with his fellow men and women. See, Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector, and in this bizarre way that the Roman Empire, who were the occupiers of ancient Palestine, they arranged to have other Jews take up their revenue, their taxes, of their neighbors, and the Jewish tax collector could really collect whatever he wanted. A slice of that would need to be sent into the government, but he could really line his purse as a tax collector, and many of them became wealthy in unsavory, unethical ways. That doesn't put you on good stead with your neighbors. In fact, did you know, I was reading about this week, it was legal for one of the Jewish tax collectors to stop a wagon cart full of merchandise and charge the owner a certain amount of tax for the cart, a certain amount for each wheel, tax on the animal, whatever the animal was pulling the carriage, and the merchandise. I mean, it was a system that was just ripe with abuse. So Zacchaeus, who we're told in the story was a short fellow, shimmied up a tree overlooking the road in Jericho, where Jesus and his great entourage, because there was always people hanging around Jesus just to want to listen or be a part of his teaching, they would be coming down that road. And Zacchaeus plotted and waited in that tree, perhaps not even sure what he was waiting for. And guess what happened? Jesus and the group do come down the road at the appointed time, and Jesus stops at some point and looks up in the tree and sees Zacchaeus. Now, in other stories in the scriptures, we hear how Jesus the Christ, representing God's way, had this capacity to see people very deeply in ways that others would pass over the beggar, the poor widow, the child, in this case, the despised tax collector. And Jesus chose to stop and see him. I think that's one of the first ingredients, friends, of what empathy requires. It's to see someone as three-dimensional and being a beloved child of God, no matter what other people say. So Jesus didn't miss Zacchaeus this day, looking up in the tree to see him. And Luke says, who's the storyteller, says he saw him and simply said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I simply must come to your house today." So Jesus saw him. Now, we really don't know what happened in that conversation. It's like so many stories in the gospel where we have to fill in the blanks and wonder and use conjecture to fill in the gaps. We don't know what was said. Nothing is recorded there about the conversation between them and when Jesus invited himself over for lunch that day. Really, all we have are the results of that conversation. And those results tell us a great deal. Now, Zacchaeus makes a two-pronged pledge about what he wants to do with his life after having spent that time with Jesus. He says he's going to He's going to donate a good portion of his annual income to offset the suffering of the poor. And if he's stolen or come into money by unethical ways, he's going to repay it fourfold. Do you know Jewish law only required that you pay back ill-gotten gains plus 20%? That was the Jewish law. But Zacchaeus had such a change of heart. He says, I'm going to make it right even more than that. I'm going to be more generous. Well, something happens in that encounter that day between Zacchaeus and his time with Jesus. It changed the way Zacchaeus saw the world. He could now see people in need, and not just people he felt he needed to fleece. Isn't that one of the most disruptive things that Jesus does in us if we let his spirit take hold in us? It changes the way we see people. No longer can we resort to simple labels. And friends, this is so important in this polarized chapter of our country's culture. When you are trying to see people the way Christ sees them, you no longer can categorize them simply as rich or poor or Republican or Democrat or straight or gay. Because your move to see people as being in need of mercy just like you are. Another ingredient to having empathy. Now we see people with real needs. We see glimpses of this when disasters happen in our country or in our world. You know, have you ever heard of stories of when the tornado touches down or when a hurricane happens on the coast, of how people reach out to each other? None of those categories matter anymore. I have a friend who was a psychiatrist in the Manhattan area when 9/11 happened. And he was so astounded and so moved to see people, rich and poor, opening door for each other and asking how you're doing and having direct eye contact, which you almost never have between Manhattanites. To do that, even for people who claim no faith, was to be seeing other people with the eyes of Jesus. So our little story today closes by saying salvation comes to Zacchaeus' house. And he is forever changed from being a taker to being a giver. You know, I have come to believe that people can be listened into their own solutions, into their own healing. I believe that if the listener is grounded and wise and spiritually connected, that sometimes the person being listened to can actually be listened into their own solution. Therapists know this. Wise parents know this. I think the Stephen ministers of our church who stand by people at seasons of crisis, they know this. And Jesus certainly knew this. You can listen people toward their healing. This is important work because it's the work of knowing when to listen with empathy. And the main hard work of doing this is to enter into a conversation choosing to withhold your judgment. You know, I've got a voice in me that is so quick to make a judgment. And sometimes I have to say to myself, Chris, let the judge sit down and just listen. It's the hard work of imagining what it might be like to walk in another person's shoes. Zacchaeus would not have been an easy guy to empathize with, or would he? If somehow Jesus sees him as a three-dimensional spiritual being, he sees him in the tree and invites him down. He steps into his world. He counters his isolation. And I'd like to think that in that lunch, we hardly hear anything about that day, that Jesus asked some really good questions to get into Zacchaeus' world. Oh, friends, Jesus is our role model. He's our way shower. That's why we devote all of our faith practice around the way he lived. And there is a lesson to walk away with in today's story if we will let it be. It is ironic that we try to impress people often by saying clever things or what we own or being funny. Yet nothing binds one human being to another one more strongly and profoundly than the work of listening carefully to another person in a way that they know you have listened. It is no accident that we speak of paying attention to people. I want you to think of that phrase. Isn't that a curious phrase? Paying attention. Because maybe our capacity to give attention is the highest currency that any of us have. Would you agree that most days it is easier to show the exact opposite of empathy? I know it is for me. That's our impulsive, knee-jerk, reactive self coming out. Some people call it our reptilian brain, where you sometimes have to hold that first reaction and think about what's the deeper calling here right now. If you're like me, the opposite of empathy shows up in my need to be right. Anybody with me? Meet a man that we'll call Alan. Alan's very smart. He enjoys always gathering facts and knowing things. And people who talk to Alan sometimes get the sense that mostly what he loves in conversation is to be right. Know anybody like that? When he was in high school, Alan was on the debate team, and it's like he never graduated off the team. Always kind of likes a good argument. Alan approaches conversations like a prosecuting attorney marshaling evidence to prove his case. He's very good at pointing to the logical flaws in people who disagree with him, especially his wife, whose self-esteem has withered over the course of their marriage. He wins many arguments. He has a great gift of sarcasm. He's very alone. See, he keeps winning disagreements while also losing friends along the way. He doesn't seem to realize that every time people are with him, they come away feeling a little emotionally bruised. Well, one day, Alan asked to see his pastor, John Ortberg, who tells this story. Alan asked to meet because Alan has a 10-year-old son who he's nuts crazy in love with. He's so proud to be a father. The son is now 10 years old, and he wants to express his love to his son. But all too often, what comes is his impatience that his son is not as intelligent as he is. He is seeing now in his son's eyes the hurt and pain that his arrogance gives birth to. He finally sees that he has a difficult addiction, his need to be right. Herein, friends, is the exact opposite of empathy. A wise soul once said that one of the hardest things in the world is to be right and to not hurt anybody with it. One of the hardest things in the world is to be right and not hurt anybody with it. I think one of the amazing things about Jesus the Christ, the way he related to people in the world, is that he was right in so many weighty matters, but he endeavored not to abuse people with what he knew. Even so, he was bold and he spoke truth to power, but he did not abuse people. The power of empathy is the power to listen well. You know, it can sometimes even earn you the right to offer words of well-chosen advice to somebody who came to you, but not before the first important work of having listened to the person who came. The punchline closer in today's gospel is where Zacchaeus the taker becomes Zacchaeus the giver. On his own, he got there. On his own, without being shamed or cajoled, he shouts out his spiritual message. He says, "Master Jesus, I will give away half of my income to the poor. And if I'm caught cheating, I will pay back the damages." See, he was listened into his own healing by Jesus, who knows a thing or two about empathy. So next time you find yourself in a conversation Listening to someone who's telling you something important about themselves? Try silencing the voice that wants to give advice. The voice that wants to be right. And ask yourself the question, how can I listen to this person with empathy right now, with my whole being? Give that a try this week. Maybe to a relationship that you've never tried that with. Imagine what would happen in our families, our church, our town, if we listen to other people in such a way that set them free. Imagine in moments like that, God is in us, using us to love people by offering empathy. Amen.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side when times get rough. When you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I will comfort you. I'll take your part when darkness comes. Troubled water, I will ease your mind.